Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then called into the show, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice to hear your voice. How are things in beautiful Florida?
They're going just great. We're just fighting that summer heat wave, and I spent most of the day in the water today. So I was like a little surf rat today, and it was fun. I do have a kid in me that comes out every once in a while, and today I was 10 years old for just a few hours.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, are you taking any clients? Are you doing any root work for people?
I am. As a matter of fact, and following the moon phase, and I have two things that are going on, a few separate altars, my work's really going really great right now, Miss Kat. Thank you so much for asking. I don't mean to always get off topic with the weather and the things going on in Florida, but working by the moon phases and have some really great things that have been coming to fruition, and looking forward to taking care of some things that just need to go away for folks. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to.
Best time to do it. Good.
Well, that's what you mean, the moon phases. You know, as the moon grows every month and waxes every month, you're bringing things in, right? And then when you talk about sending things away, you're going to be working by the moon declining or waning. A lot of people do work that way, not everyone, but those who do, do you find that it hastens or helps your work to work by the moon phases?
It does, but there's always a great time for hoodoo. So and you taught me that. So if I need to do something or take care of somebody, then I can take care of them. If somebody needs, you know, steady work or money, just because, you know, it's always a good time. But, yeah, the moon phases, I like to work with them, but I don't hold steadfast to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do what I need to do. Days of the week, I really do try to focus on those as much as I can. I really do. So I take Tuesdays and Saturdays very seriously and for what I need to do for me and for my clients. Sunday, Thursday, and Friday, and definitely my Wednesday, road opening day. I love the days of the week, and I just appreciate so much everything that you taught me as a student, and I continue to learn. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that you're using those traditions. I like that. Well, speaking of cycles and phases, we're getting to the end of the worst Mercury retrograde. I couldn't even say it. The worst Mercury retrograde we've had in years.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Our entire Lucky Mojo shop and me and Nagashiva personally were offline for 3 days. We had a bad switch in our computer system. It's just been one thing after another, a little piece of broken phones, broken equipment, broken everything. Mm-hmm. And this was just the worst Mercury retrograde, I guess, in 10, 11, 12 years. It was just a nightmare. But it's soon to be over, though.
Almost there.
We're just hang in. It's been really, really bad. Well, Ali, how are you doing down there?
Oh, I'm doing lovely. I just remember talking to you about, you know, Mercury in retrograde and how everything was going. I was so worried, and I'm so happy that everything is back online. You guys were able to make it out. I know when I saw your first post at the Lucky Mojo Forum, I was like, oh, yes, the computers are back online where Kat's at. So I'm very happy that, you know, Mercury in retrograde is soon to be over. Things have been going great down here. For whatever reason, Mercury in retrograde doesn't impact me. I shouldn't say it, but I'll risk it. I'm going to jinx myself. Mercury in retrograde doesn't impact me too much. In fact, I've done quite a bit of writing, you know, for whatever reason during these times, and my blog has been getting quite a bit of posts. I've been writing a bit about Kimbanda and Eshu and Pumbajuri, so people who are interested can check out my blog, and I'll post it in the chat. So then for whatever reason, while everything else was breaking down around me, I stayed in my little pool of serenity and was writing.
May I say something, though? That's very humorous to me, because Eshu is often considered to be a cultural parallel to Mercury.
Yes, very true, very true.
So by honoring Eshu, you probably avoided the problems of Mercury retrograde.
I rode the storm, I definitely did.
Yeah, you did. Well, and poor Nagashiva is just saying in the chat room, disconnecting, going to rely on my cell phone. His sound just cut out.
Wow.
All right. Well, today we have with us Dr. E, and one of our fabulous friends, also from Southern California. Welcome, Dr. E, to the show. We'd love to have you as a guest.
Hi, Kat. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, this Mercury retrograde can kiss my butt. I'm so over it. Oh, I mean, I literally felt like I was having early onset dementia at times because I couldn't conjure the proper words to say things. And I mean, like, I'd hit a wall in the middle of a reading and be like, what's that word? The thing that goes this way that does that stuff. What's the word? I mean, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I should have called Deacon Millett and have him light one of his Mercury lights for me just to help me.
Oh, I hear such wonderful things about those Mercury lights of his, people. Absolutely wonderful,
Yeah, he does that. He's really, really good with that stuff.
I have to say, too,
if you ever need astrological help, Deacon Millett has one of the most fortunate horoscopes you will ever see in your life. The lines on his horoscope form a perfect Mogen David, Star of David. He has two grand trines opposite each other. I mean, you look at that chart and you just go, whoa, that's really great.
Thank God he
makes a great astrologer because of it.
Yeah.
He's got a totally great, great thing. So Johannes posts in the chat room, it is never over. It will come back. Yes, it will.
Because it goes into retrograde so frequently, you're just like, oh, God, here we go again.
It happens frequently. But sometimes it's not as bad as other. Depends on what else is going on. And, Serpent Healer says, I was born during a Mercury retrograde and never had issues. That is true. That's another thing that happens. People who are born under Mercury retrograde just can kind of swim through it, you know. All right. Well, tell me what you've been up to besides struggling with Mercury retrograde.
Well, funny, I also have been writing, much like Hanuman Ali. I've been writing articles for the Santa Maria Church of the Orishas website. I just put up a great page on the Orisha Yemaya, who is very popular amongst people. Oh, excellent. Oh, you too. Okay. So, check me. So I put a nice little page up about Yemaya and wrote that up. Probably going to be working on a page for Obatala next. And I want to put an article up about the concept of taboo. This is what we call Ewe. It's ritual taboo within the religion of Santeria, which is oftentimes misunderstood to be like something misfortunate or a punishment or, you know, a cross you have to bear in life. And when you understand the mystical significance of taboo, it becomes something really powerful and really amazing that you can use to save yourself when you need it most. So I'm going to write a great article about that will hopefully open some people's eyes to this very common practice that we do within our religion.
Wonderful. That's really great. Well, I love your stuff. You've been doing such a nice job of really bringing information out to people. It's been amazing. New information to people who thought they knew it, information for people who've heard rumors on the internet and have no idea what they're looking at. And you just, you know, really your church is doing very, very well. I'm very pleased to see how that's developing.
And the beautiful thing is that it's being embraced. A lot of times when people come out and speak openly about these various cults of the African traditional religions, there is a bit of a resistance sometimes and a bit of a hesitation from some priests who are set in their ways, or some people go, no, you can't talk about this. But one of the beautiful things is that I think with Dr. E is that the century, the church and the information that he's putting out is being very widely accepted and wildly, you know, very openly received, and that's a great sign of, you know, good things to come, and that there is the favor of the spirits in this particular endeavor. So I'm very happy to see that not only is it great information that's going out to people who are very new to this, you know, tradition, but also is being accepted and open with open arms by people who are already established in the tradition.
Right, exactly. So that's what I've been working on in terms of my church, but in terms of my root work, it's been like Cursapalooza for me. I mean, like, I have just been doing hot foot spells and bindings to take away people's ability to work witchcraft, and I've been doing spirit trap spells to take curses off.
My favorite.
And I've been, oh, yeah, I did a rockin' spirit trap the other day, and I thought about you, Conjure Man Ollie, and I thought, you know, he would be so proud of me. But, yeah, I did that, and doing some spells to take a third interfering party and kick them out of a marriage in order to preserve the marriage. I mean, lots of real aggressive work, which I love to do. I like rolling up my sleeves and getting into that work. I'm perfectly happy and surprisingly gifted to do it. And so, yeah, that's been my theme. I know you were talking, this is the summer of love. Not for me.
I got all the love clients and you're doing all the cursing work. This is too funny. I'm sending you some love. I'm sending some love clients your way then.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, there's a joke. There's a joke there. Yeah, there has to be a joke there, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny that we all have our different little things. I know that some of you have noticed, some of our regular listeners, and I know that Dr. E was around for a couple of these, and Ollie certainly knows, we have been having a tremendous number of callers who are asking if they have the gift and or the business sense or whatever it takes to become professional readers and root workers. Well, I go home from the radio show and read for people, and that question, I don't think a day has gone by without me being asked that question.
Yeah.
And I think I am almost becoming a diviner of diviners. And it's very interesting to me. I think that this is coming onto the radio show, is coming through what's going on in my life. I don't know yet what the meaning is, whether they've decided, well, I'm successful, and they want to see if I can give them my, you know, my imprimatur or my touch of genius or whatever the heck they think I'm going to, you know, like Shakti pot, you know, here you go, here's your little Shakti pot, and now you can be a reader. But many of these people who are coming to me have no talent as readers. I'm just going to say that just straight up. Many of them have a tremendous talent as readers, but no gift as business people.
Yes.
Some of them have a good gift as business people and a moderate talent as readers, and some of them are well-balanced. And I don't know if we're going to have any of these clients today on the radio show, because I go in here blind. I don't look ahead. But I just have to say, I want to just spend a minute here on this. I think of myself now as this is one of my specialties. I can tell you how you're going to be and whether you're going to make a success of it. And I don't know why, but that's kind of what I've been asked to do all this summer. But as we're getting to the mid and then end point of summer, it's just increased, and everyone wants me to tell them if they're going to make it as a reader. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly makes sense if you, you know, look at it from a cultural point of view. You've become one of the more celebrated and successful readers. Going into business as a reader is not, a lot of people think it's a lucrative profession. It isn't. It's a lot of hard work, and it's got to be a balance of natural spiritual skill and business skill. Some people, like you said, have great spiritual skill and absolutely no business sense, and other people are great businessmen and women, but have very modicum or less than satisfactory psychic skills. So you kind of represent that perfect balance. You know, I always call you the Queen of Pentacles. You know, you've got the crystal ball in your hand and you've got the coin in your hand. So
yeah,
that really does make sense. They go, okay, well, who can we aspire to be or who can we talk to that has made it as a reader, balancing both the business as well as the skill? And so Catherine Ironwood, Miss Cat, comes right up.
Yeah, well, that's very flattering. Thank you. You know who also calls herself the Queen of Pentacles is Debbie Spring, our own Debbie Spring, another Earth sign reader. I think
Debbie,
every Earth sign reader has called herself the Queen of Pentacles at one point or another. I'm just telling you, hon, like that that card.
I would have to be the Princess of Pentacles because my mom is still alive. So that would be me. Yes. Just to be clear.
That's cute.
Very funny.
Well, you know, thing is, I don't think that it's not just that they want some of my success to rub off on them. I mean, I'm sure there are some like that. But these are really sincere questions. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, I almost wish I had a way to teach people how to be readers. I will recommend a couple of things, and you'll all hear me recommend these things over and over again. Valentina Burton's book, The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success. Please go get a copy. Please get a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, reading is a community in and of itself. And we are in the root working community in which we are all readers. But there's a reader community that overlaps, like, you know, those two overlapping circles in a Venn diagram, right? There's the reader community, and it's very large, and they read with all different types of systems, not just cards, not just bones, not just any. I mean, there's readers all over the world. Read about readers. You know what I just got today from England? I just got the most amazing two little old paperbacks. Now, you guys in England are just going to go, but those books are so common and trashy. I just got two of Doris Stokes's autobiographical / ghost-written books about her life, Voices in My Ear and the other one, I can't remember the name of. She wrote four of them. Doris Stokes was a spirit medium and a wonderful reader. At the same time, and here I am, getting her books all the way from England, and they were cheap too. They're like 99 pence, man. The shipping cost more than that. I also got C.C. Zane's couple of books, on one on character reading and one on mediumship. I got these in the form of these little pamphlets that C.C. Zane, Albert Benjamin, used to put out, little blue pamphlets from the Brotherhood of Light. And they're just little snippets of his books. These are like a signature of his book. He'd sell it as a little pamphlet with a little blue cover on them. Fantastic material. And it's from 1925. When you want to be a reader, here's old Cat's advice. When you want to be a reader, study the history of reading. You aren't going to go out there and say, I'm going to be an actor, without knowing what actors do. You know?
Right.
Conjure by King asks, what was the name of the Doris Stokes books again? One is called Voices in My Ear. I think the other's called More Voices in My Ear. And another one is, they all have voices in the title. There's, I think, four of them. The first one came out around 1984, something like that. Whispers in My Ear, says Papa Newt. Yeah, that's probably one of them, too. There's a bunch of them. And the first one is really her whole life. The rest of them are sort of like interesting experiences. You know, she was a spirit medium. If you want to be a spirit medium, read about spirit mediums. Read C. Doreen Phillips's book, Autobiography of a Fortune Teller. It's available. You can find it. Great book. Great book. And I just tell people the thing is, it's not just about can I throw some cards down and string together a narrative. If you want to become a reader, you're going to join a community, and it's important to learn about that community and partake of that community. The one thing I will never approve a reader who says, oh, I never get readings, I just do them.
Yes, that's so true. I am a firm believer of getting readings, and in fact, it's actually a hobby of mine. I love going and getting readings, and not always to hone my own skill, but sometimes because I simply enjoy the fact of being read and seeing how right or wrong that person particularly is, but that's just me. But getting readings is really the way to learn, in my opinion, one of the best ways to learn, and it actually gets you involved in the community. You know, sharing readings. I'll read for you with my technique, and you read for me with your technique, and then you switch, you know, you will pick up little traits from one another and little techniques, and that really develops you and hones your skill while also putting you into that community.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
One of the things I like doing is going and getting readings from people just to see their stylistic variations.
Yes.
It's funny. I did a cowrie shell reading, a D-Lagoon reading for Kat at the Lucky Mojo workshop weekend,
mm-hmm.
And one of the little sort of stylistic things she noticed was the way that I pick up the shells, pick up the money, and then drop them at once with each cast, and you noticed that. You were like, where did this come from? And I realized I picked that up from watching my godfather and the way that he throws shells. You know, mm-hmm. it's little things like that. You just sometimes you pick it up and you're like, that's kind of cool. I want to incorporate that into my style, you know, or the way that you can't describe what's pictured on the card. I've now found myself starting to do that as well. So it's kind mm-hmm. of interesting to see how we pick things up from one another.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lovely talk with our wonderful colleague, Kai Armand,
yeah.
last night about this, talking to him mm-hmm. about, how, you know, the business of doing readings, how you do it and how you talk to people and ways to interact with people that are really kind of like characteristic of each reader. Each reader has a style. There's no one way. Anyway, I love Kai, and it was, we had just a wonderful, wonderful conversation about the business of the business. And
yeah.
I ended up I was using really old-fashioned terms and talking to him. Do you have your specials? I said, do you have your specials? And he goes, what's a special? And I pulled out an old, what we used to be called, these are your specials. I pulled out a special from the Egypt Candle Store, and I read it to him, and he got it. It was just about the things that, you know, a little spell you could do and the things you'd need to purchase to do it, and it was a handout that was given in the shop for the month, and those things were on special. They were on sale. So, anyway, you know, those kind of things that we know, those of us who've been in the business, those have to be conveyed as well as, gosh, am I psychic? I used to look at portfolios for people who were interested in joining the comic book field, and I would you know, see their portfolios, and I was you always would look, are they talented artists? And Joe Kubert, who was a very talented artist, was once sitting next to me. We were both looking at portfolios of these young, talented kids, you know. And he said to this one kid who was really a good drawer, he said, you're a really good drawer. He says, you could make it. You could go to art school. You could make it. He goes, you've got the talent. He goes, but don't think that you're going to make it because of that. He goes, because I've seen people your age who draw a lot less well than you, who keep on drawing and don't just draw the same thing over and over, because this kid had drawn like 16 drawings of Batman, right? And Joe Kubert says, I want you to draw a pirate. I want you to draw a dog. I want you to draw a house. I want you to draw a skyscraper. I want you to draw an old lady with a cane. And the guy says,
right.
Why would I want to draw that? I want to draw Batman. And Joe Kubert said, the guy who draws everything is the guy who gets the job. And a guy who doesn't draw as well as you but can draw the little old lady with the cane, he's going to get the job. And he said, people who aren't as good at you will pass you by if you only focus your mind on just achieving that one thing. I can draw Batman. And
right.
So I took that. That was the best advice I ever heard anybody give a young artist. But I take that also into my reading advice. If you think that just throwing cards, that you can throw cards and you can get answers, okay. But can you furnish a reading parlor? Can you take an ad in Craigslist? Do you know what a business card is? You know, this is all part of what we do. You got to be able to do it all. And by the way, I want to just say something here to Miss Tammy Lee, who's probably fretting about the time. I would rather do one less reading today and keep on talking about this subject, if that's all right with my co-host and pal here. All right.
So that's fine with us, yeah.
Yeah, because we do you know, four readings a week like clockwork. Let's just do three this time, and
sure.
And let's just
change
talk
it
about
up.
The Yeah, change it up a little bit. So I've had my say. Now I want to ask, let me just ask you, Ollie, because you're right here. When you decided to become a reader, what made you decide that you could be? And why did you do it? Why did you choose that?
That's very interesting. A lot of people, we talked about this also when we say the year of the root worker and the reader, right? People get into this for the business of it. For me, it was very much a family tradition. My great-grandfather was the sage of my family, and he was a spiritual worker in his home country. So it was, to a certain extent, as odd as this may sound to some people in different cultures, it was somewhat ordained to me. When I was born in a Middle Eastern culture, the air is often anointed in a certain way, shape, or form, often by whispering a prayer in the ear or some form of anointing ceremony. My great-grandfather had many, great-grandchildren. I was the only one he anointed and indicated that I was his heir. So from a very young age, it was very clear that my pursuits were going to be spiritual. My academic work kind of balances that out, because even though I am in academia, I also touch on spiritual aspects in academia. But really making it into a profession for me was the Taurus in me, that practical earth sign that recognized that I have a skill, that I have an ability that I can give back to people, but that it can only be tempered with sound business practices. Things like promoting myself, things like advertising, things like putting up a blog so that people know who the hell is Gondarman Ollie, who is this guy? So for me, it was a balance of recognizing my skill, carrying on a family legacy, and then blending that all together into sound business practice that really got me into reading as a profession. Root work comes from a little bit different, history, which I can always go on about at a different time. But it really was a blend of kind of feeling called to the work by my family legacy and then blending that with my business practices that made me want to become a reader.
Interesting. There's a little thing going on here in the chat room I want to bring up, and I'm gonna point this one at Dr. E. Mystic Faye says it's really strange that we're having this conversation right now because Mystic Faye wants to learn about Tarot, but felt the deck I had wasn't the right first one, and almost got a reading this week to ask if I had the skill. Isn't that funny? But let's talk about the tools. How do you know what tools you're going to get? So, Dr. E, you read with a lot of different things. How did you choose what tools were your tools?
That's actually a very good question. Originally started with Tarot because when I was a little kid, my mom used to read the Spanish playing cards. And I remember, actually, she gave me a reading when I was like 8 or 9 years old, and she was very hesitant to do it, but I kind of cajoled her to do it, and she did it. So that was like, okay, from here on out, I have to do something with cards because these cards have always fascinated me. And I was called to them. And yet the first deck that I got was a very standard Rider-Waite-Smith type of deck with the horrible colors and everything. And I said, I can learn this, but I kind of really resent this terrible coloring scheme. And I went into the local occult store, and they were very smart merchants because they pulled out a big cardboard box that had sample decks for every single deck they sold. And I spent like 2-3 hours going through every deck, looking at every card, until I found a deck that for me, like, sung to me. It talked to me. I looked at the images, and it conjured up ideas in my head. I looked at the Ace of Cups, and I just felt this beautiful love pouring out of it. And I looked at the Four of Pentacles, and I saw a miser that was unwilling to give up his money. And I went, wait a minute, this deck is really talking to me. So I bought that deck, and I learned so much more from that deck than I ever learned from that standard Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And
now, which was the deck? What was the name of it, hon?
The original one was the typical Rider-Waite-Tarot. That's it.
Uh-huh. And the other one?
The yellow box. And the one that I actually ended up using was the Robin Wood Tarot, which was
nice, very nice,
sort of beautiful artwork. And for me, it was really, it really sung to me at the time. And I ended up using that to learn. And then I would always go back, and whenever a new deck would come out, I'm like, let me see that. Let me look through it. And if it sung to me, I would buy it. So whenever people come to me and say, what tool, I always tell them, look through the tool and see if it talks to you. If you want to get runes, go, you know, make your own runes and see if they talk to you. If you want to learn how to do geomancy, start doing it and see if it is a natural fit for you. But if you feel like this is some kind of Sisyphean task where you are just rolling this damn boulder uphill and not getting anywhere with it, set it aside. Try a different tool. Try something simpler. Maybe something a little more complex is what sings to you. But ultimately, it's through trial and error, you know, is what really calls to you. But yeah, I started with that tarot deck, and now I read the Radiant Tarot, which is just the standard Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck that's colored beautifully as opposed to awfully, and the Thoth Tarot, which I love the vibrance of it, but I read it a little differently. I use it almost like chapters in a story, so I'll maybe pull two or three of the Thoth deck, and then I'll lay the Radiant Tarot on top of it as storylines within the chapters of the entire book. So that's how I sort of use those two decks together when I'm doing a real extensive, an extensive reading.
That's very interesting. I just got to pipe in here.
So my first deck was, first of all, playing cards, but not Spanish playing cards. These were the, they were Austrian Piatnik playing cards, just a regular deck, you know, with this pretty Austrian kings and queens. And then I got a tarot, which was the old, what we used to call the cracked mud deck, the old original Rider-Waite deck. The back looks like brown cracked mud. It's not that tartan that they got out. Then I saw the first non-standard deck I saw was the Aquarian Tarot, and I went nuts for it. I loved the Aquarian Tarot, and so I began reading it. Then I got the Morgan Greer, and the Morgan Greer is borderless, and it's the one that then I went out with the black velvet background with the Morgan Greer. Morgan Greer on a black velvet background, that is impressive, you know. But here's the thing about me, and this is me. I'm a teacher, and the Aquarian Tarot, which I really is fantastic. It's just cropped pictures of the Rider-Waite. And I say, well, you can't see it, but right outside this picture, there's a ship. Right? And I was like, this is not working, because I was like, I would say, well, this means travel. They'd go, why? And the Aquarian Tarot is beautiful facial close-ups, but it's like all happening outside the borders of the card. So I stopped using that. Morgan Greer, I stuck with longer. I love that black velvet, and it was like, really, I was dressed in black. I had the black velvet. I had the Morgan Greer Tarot. But I just went back to the old Rider-Waite deck because why? It's got all the things in it. It's got the fishes. It's got the ships. It's got the little bunny rabbits. It's got the plowed ground. It's got all those things. Now, why do I do that? Because my moon is in frickin' Aquarius. I cannot justify my mystical thoughts without some sort of Aquarian intellectual mental process. And it is.
Right.
Look, it's in the picture. It's on the card, right? Therefore, you must believe me. That is a weakness of mine as a reader. But it's also a strength when I'm reading for people who are fixed signs, because they want that kind of proof. So there you go. The deck you choose, Reverend Deborah Joy says, she needs logic. Yes, moon in Aquarius. That's why I made a better astrologer than most of my reader friends, because I do logic. But, all right. So anyway, these are some of the thoughts that circle around my mind. Pick the kind of reading that you're going to do. Like Dr. E said, pick them all up. Try them all. It won't cost you but a few bucks. Go down to somebody who collect. Go to like the Bay Area Tarot Symposium and BATS, and go down and visit, you know, a bunch of booths where they have all the different tarot cards, and people are sharing them around. You know, look online, go to Eclectic Tarot. Someone's going to post the URL for eclectictarot.com, I hope, in the chat room. Go to Eclectic Tarot, which starts with an A-E, they've got pretty much every deck laid out there so you can see them. And, yes, I was one of those people who was like an insane tarot card collector. I had every deck, until the Tarot of the Cat People. And when the Tarot of the Cat People came out, I said, here's a deck I do not need to purchase. And I broke my run of having everything. I had every Gypsy Tarot. If there was a tarot deck I did not have, I purchased it until I saw the Tarot of the Cat People. And no offense, I said, I will not collect the whole set. And I began to give away my decks.
if I could ask something, Kat, it's funny. People are always like, you know, what divination technique should I learn? And am I skilled at it? Am I talented at it? Let me tell you, the most useful divination technique I have in my arsenal is a very clear and simple yes or no divination technique. Because when you want to check on things, when you want to check on what is the spell set up right, or if you want to ask a spirit in a grave before you buy the graveyard, do you want to work with me? Is this sufficient payment? You know, is this where I need to drop off this spell? You need a simple yes or no technique. And Tarot, for its beauty and being able to speak eloquent answers, sometimes you just need black and white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very true.
Learn a basic, even if it's this technique that I learned a while back that was called the split rock method, where you just get a friggin' river stone and you lick one side of it and you flip it in the air, and if it's wet, it's yes, and if it's dry, it's no. That's a simple flipping of the coin. You know what I mean? But at least you have a yes or no, and you can get your answer easily. And that's one of the best things you can learn.
That really goes back to the skill, you know, not just the skills of the reader, but also being able to read for others. Because people have the natural ability to read, but sometimes they don't have what it takes in order to make it into a business. You know, everyone's talking about their tarot experience. The interesting thing for me is I actually did not start with the tarot. Unlike most readers, I would say, in Western culture, started with the tarot. I didn't. The tarot was picked up a little bit later when I first met my conjure teacher around 10 years old. And she's the one who kind of looked at me and goes, "What do you mean you do geomancy? What the hell is geomancy?" I was a geomancer first and foremost, and a scryer, and that's always been with me through my life. And she goes, no, if you're going to start helping clients, you need to learn how to show them these cards. Now, I knew what the cards were because my grandmother read playing cards. So I could read a little bit of the playing cards, but I never liked them. I was there, you know, and she's like, no, let me show you. And so I picked up the tarot there. So it's about knowing, not only picking up the divination, techniques and tools that resonate with you, but also that resonate with your client, so that you're able to give them answers. A lot of people who are tarot readers sometimes have the hardest times with yes, no questions, because they don't know how to come up with those very straightforward answers. And so here they are, the client wants something very simple, yes or no, and they go, hold on, let me pull out five cards, and then maybe if this one's reversed, it's a no, and they have all these complicated techniques. So that really speaks to not only picking a divination skill that you resonate with, but also having a divination tool that is able to help the client right then and there, that they resonate with, that gives them the answer that they need right then and there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've enjoyed this talk, and now we've run over our second segment. So we better get Miss Tammy in here. We could spend a whole show on this.
We probably could.
Yeah, and people in the chat room are like naming every tarot deck they ever liked: the Lord of the Rings tarot, the Dragon tarot. All righty, okay, let's take it away, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and just getting that last link there. There we go. Here we go. All right, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Condiment Ali, and this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is June, calling in from New Jersey, area code 646. June, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. June is a new caller to the show and has had no previous readings that I can see here on the forum. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of her situation for our host, and she writes, "My ex-boyfriend hid from me that he has been dating someone new for 6 months. it was easy to hide because they're long distance with her in Europe and him here. I'd like to know about their relationship and their potential future, especially given the distance. Is it serious, solid, et cetera? Can I break them up? What's the best way? She is visiting in the next 2 weeks. What can I do to make sure that this is not a good visit? I've already done some breakup work and wonder if it's hitting him. I'm an Aries. He is a Scorpio, and I don't know about her. Turning it back over to you.
All right, June. Well, you know, you've asked a series of questions here, and they're all going to depend upon the answer to the first question, which is, is it serious solid? Can I break them up? So if the answer to that is no, we stop there. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, because I've had people, a lot of times people, you know, they put up a series of conditional questions, and they're like, okay, so what they really want to say is I want to break them up no matter what. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you want
the
guy back? Just to ask a quick question: is this a reconciliation situation, or just I want to break these two up out of vengeance? Like, what is it that your ultimate goal is?
It's revenge.
Oh, it's just revenge.
For revenge. Yeah. You don't want the person back yourself.
Not anymore.
Okay,
summer
good.
Of love. Told you.
Yeah. No. Seriously.
All righty, baby.
Well, there goes my theory.
All right. First card I have is the Three of Swords. This is a heart stabbed by three swords. No, I would say that they've got some problems, and you may be their biggest problem. Three swords and a heart, you are definitely causing interference. You are already done some work, and it is hitting them, and you are the proverbial interfering ex that we hear about in so many other readings, right? His ex is just doing something. You're that chick, right? Right, Jim?
Sorry. Yes.
No, that's cool. You
I'm
what
good,
you
good
want
on
to
you.
Be.
Yeah.
You know,
good on you.
But actually, June, you are having an effect on them, and it is causing them pain. And so you can keep it up if you want to. You can strike them three times. We got three swords here. What exactly are you doing?
I did a breakup candle. I did a vinegar jar. I'm doing those name papers in the pan that you heat up every night. Mm-hmm. And then I did a love spell for her, hoping she finds a new lover.
Wow. Well, the three, that's how decent of you, yes. The three swords in the heart are these three negative spells you've done. Yes, you've had an effect. You have caused them tears. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's something I'm going to tell you strict up from my training as a worker. Sometimes our best work is done when we don't attach ourselves to the results. I'm not going to quote Aleister Crowley, but all you Crowleyites know what I'm talking about. The lust for results was what he called it. I was taught in a different way. I was taught, don't take joy in what you do. Just ask God to do it and tell God or Goddess or whoever you speak to, I'm not here to rejoice over these people's suffering. I put it in your hands, take care of it. But it is being taken care of. They will not be happy. Okay? Now,
okay.
Second card. And this is a card that, again, I'm not trying to rag on you. Okay? Second card is the card of the moon. And this tells me that in some sense this is a fool's errand. You will break them up, you will cause them pain, but you're not causing yourself pleasure. Okay?
Yep.
Okay? So your own path is a different path, and you should probably devote a certain amount of time to this and maybe twist the knife every once in a while, but don't make yourself vulnerable to attack. Because, in other words, protect yourself well, because the next card is the Seven of Wands, and this is the person on a hill who's holding a stick but is being attacked from below. There may be some understanding of what you're doing, possibly. There may be some protection that she has put up or something of that nature that's coming back on you. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. So the answer is, yeah, you are hitting strong. You are hitting hard. It may not be the best way for you to spend your time. Watch out. There's a counterattack. All right.
Yeah.
All righty. Dr. E, what do you see?
I'm using the Lenormand deck just to mix things up. And one of the things that I'm seeing here is, Kat's correct, your work that you've done in the past has helped to eat away at the foundations of their relationship. I have a past unseen influence from their part affecting the situation of a combination of the rats and the tower. And this really talks about something foul that is undermining what they're trying to build. So I say, keep at it. Now, going into the future, one of my cards are seeing here is that you're going to start to hear whispers of their secrets starting to come back to you. And you're going to actually receive news and things that are things you weren't even aware of when they were together. And this will probably irritate you further from how you already are hurt from what went down. I say don't let that eat away at you, but instead convert that into passion to drive the spell that you send. Send the spell, and like Kat said, detach yourself from the emotional result. Use it like rocket fuel to make your future spells go forward. Now, one of the things my cards are suggesting here is that you may actually create further tension in the relationship by interfering with their travel plan, because you mentioned this is a long-distance relationship. And I have a combination of the ship card sailing into the clouds, and the clouds usually means fog. Okay, so this talks about like unclear travel or disruptions with travel. I think that you should actually try to mess up their plans to fly back and forth, because one of the greatest obstacles in a long-distance relationship is the distance itself. So if you can make it less likely for them to see one another, that's going to help further erode the underpinnings of this relationship. Now, I will also echo what Kat said about needing to protect yourself, because there's a risk of, like, reversing work or something like that being done to send your very beautifully crafted breakup stuff back at you, and you don't need that. So I highly recommend that you're doing regular cleansing. Okay, maybe like once a week, just do a good uncrossing bath or a 13 herb bath, something like that, and then dress your body with some kind of fire protection oil, or keep a protection mojo bag on you, or wear evil eye beads or something like that, just to keep their ire from returning back to you. But I say keep hitting it. Your spell work is doing great. It's clearly afflicting their relationship. I get a sensation that she actually wants to build a relationship to have a child. So you may want to do some work to tie up his nature so that he's not able to perform. And that will play off of her insecurities of wanting to have children, biological clock ticking. He's not putting out for me, so maybe I'll go find another lover. And that will supplement your efforts to bring her true love from someone else. So these are sort of crafty approaches that I would recommend in conjunction to the wise advice that Kat gave you.
I'm going to add one more thing, too. Gypsy Mama in the chat room talked about karma, and I want to make it clear that the counterattack that you are feeling is a matter of cause and effect. In other words, there's some reversal work, and the true meaning of karma means cause and effect, right? I'm not saying this is being administered by an impersonal agency of karma, cosmic karma. It's really a counterattack, okay? Just want to make that clear. Okay?
Right.
So let's see what Ali has to say. How are you going to bust up their travel plans? I love that idea, Dr. E.
Well, I would do a couple things, first and foremost. One, I would heat up. One of the things that I really do suggest is from what I looked at the situation, and I'm also picking up on what Kat and Dr. E are saying, is do your work and then walk away from this situation. You can't be sitting around trying to break up their relationship and in the process sit around lonely and miserable, okay? Living your life breaking up other people is not the way to live. You will feel just enough in order to curse the relationship. Good for you. Do it, but make sure that after you do it, you walk away, okay? So what I would recommend is first heating up their relationship so that they're fighting and arguing, okay? And one of the tricks that I've taught in the past, and I'll repeat it once more here, is to take, since you don't know much about them, is take a photo if you can get it off of Facebook. Facebook is the root worker's best friend. If you can find their names, use that. Use it as a personal concern. Dress that with breakup oil. Cut open 2 red chili peppers, okay? Just make a slit in each one and slip the papers separately in the peppers, okay? And then place this on a pat that you... Hello? Yes?
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you because I know this is helpful for all the other listeners, but this is exactly what I did in constructing my vinegar jar.
Very good, very good. Well, I'm going to repeat it just for people who haven't heard it, okay? And you turn on the heat, and you let the peppers get really nice and hot. You'll actually hear the seeds popping. What that does is it causes them to fight, bicker, and argue. Whenever you know they're talking, whenever you know they're making plans, do that, okay? And it's also a good thing to do to repeat whenever, if should she ever come over here, and you know that they're spending time together. It works in almost instantaneously. I love the fact that knowing two people are, you know, they're in bed together talking, nope, I'm turning on that heat, now they're fighting. So that's a great way of working, okay? In order to stop her from traveling, what you want to do is you want to take her photo, personal concern, her name, whatever. Write it out, okay? I want you to wrap it around a nail, okay? Place this in a package or in an envelope with alum and send it to where she lives so that she stays there. You're nailing her down in her country. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you send it over there. If you want to send it to a completely different country, you can absolutely do that. For the longest time, people used to be sending things to Paris, France. The idea of I'm sending them, it's a form of a hot foot. I'm sending you out of the country. Okay? So do that. Send it away. Now, if you want to be particularly cruel, you can send it to a hospital in her country so that she gets sick and she's unable to travel. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the ways of making sure that people go out of the country. They go far, far away. So wrap it around that nail, put it in some alum. Alum stops things up. Okay, it's a great way of stopping communication. It's a great way of stopping travel, both of which are very mercurial. And then you send it. You mail it in a nice little package without a return address, and you send it on its way. Okay, and that's one way that I've used in the past in order to send someone far, far away and also to keep them from coming into the country, kind of blocking their road, so to speak.
I'm gonna put in something else too, because I sense in one of the things you said earlier, June, you've also done a little bit of a spell to get her a new husband. And actually,
yes,
this isn't so much her fault as his. And you know this because he was the one who lied. So let's talk about possibly nailing him where he is also.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to hurt her.
Yeah, I understand. And another thing that that was said was the possibility of tying up his nature. And there are many spells to do that, and you can do it for a while and let it go. But if you have any remnants of your time with him, any personal concerns, do some kind of a spell to block or tie his nature. One of my favorite is the old one where you drill a little hole in a sweet gum tree and put something of them in it, say, for instance, there's semen on a piece of string or whatever you happen to have around, a hair or what, fingernail, whatever. If nothing else, their photo. You cut a plug of the wood from that same tree, from a different part of the same tree, and pound that into the tree. That is, will block up whatever of them that you've put in there, whatever part of their body. Okay, and it's a really good way to stop them up tying their nature. There are string ways to tie their nature. There are ways to take a penis candle, for instance, and stab it full of hot pins and needles that you can dip each one in burning, you know, like not burning, but hot foot oil that's burning hot, but not on fire. I don't mean not on fire. But heat the pins, stick them into the hot foot oil, stick them into the penis candle, set the thing on fire. There's a lot of
and you'll
different
hear it
ones.
Sizzle. You'll hear it sizzle, and as you hear it sizzle, that's his penis sizzling, okay?
Right.
Yeah. So there are a number of things you can do, but I'm just going to say, work carefully and protect yourself as well as you can, because there is some possibility of some of this coming back to you and from a reversal spell. And one of the things I do is I would speak and introduce myself to God and say, I do this, you know, and I will do it for such and such amount of time, and then I will let it be, and then walk on with your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to you. You are having an effect, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks. All righty. And Dr. E said a cucumber spell chopped up with a knife. Oh, yes, chopping the cucumber with a knife, always, always good. Yeah. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee.
Don't piss off conjure women. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Or their fans.
All right, y'all, and just a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, and our next client is Gwen, and Gwen is calling in from New Hampshire from area code 603. Gwen, are you there, caller?
Hi, yes, I am.
Great. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know that you have not yet had a reading on the show about what's going on, and I'm double-checking something right here, so you haven't had a reading on the show or with any of the three hosts that are here from AIR, and she writes, I'd like to know if they can give me any insight as to which deities I should explore working with. If not, can they suggest a method for me to figure this out? I've read a lot about different belief systems, and I'm now searching for a more personal spiritual connection. Thank you. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. All right. Well, Ali, what do you have to say?
Well, it's a bit different than the questions we're normally faced with, simply because Condra tends to be Protestant Christian in background, but we have all sorts of backgrounds nowadays working with, Condra these days. If it's fine with my lovely co-host and our guest reader, Dr. E, I would actually go straight to perhaps a consultation, simply because I don't work with multiple deities. I work in a Protestant Jewish Protestant fashion of Condra, but I can teach you how to figure out which deities you might approach, which spirits you might call upon. Is that okay with everyone else?
Sure. Yeah, let's talk.
Okay. My recommendation would be, Gwen, is to first and foremost, in traditionally when it comes to various forms of polytheism or finding out who your patron deity was, there are ways of doing divinations for it, but you have to find out which system you want to work with first. Okay, so let's say you want to join something like Lukumi, like Santeria. You would go to a practitioner like Dr. E, who is a priest of Shango, and you would ask him, and he can do a reading for you and find out who your tutelary deity is, who your head orisha is, so to speak. And it's the same thing with many of the other ATRs. If, however, you're working in a more European, classical, Greco-Roman, or Celtic, a Germanic form of paganism, those traditional forms of divination are a little bit more difficult to work with. But the best way to approach this type of work of finding out who your spirit is, in my opinion, is the creation of what I call a dream vessel. Okay? You set up an altar, all right, a nice cloth, you know, any type of service with a white cloth or any type of cloth, and you light a white candle, and you leave out a cup of water. Water is a relatively universal offering that can be given to many different types of spirits from a variety of different traditions. We find it in ancient European practices, we find it in the Mediterranean, we find it in Africa, and it's a beautiful offering that can also act as a protective offering, that it only brings in good spirits while capturing anything negative, okay? So you put out a cup of water and you light a white candle, and what you get is you get yourself a bowl that you wash with certain psychic herbs, okay? Things like mugwort, star anise, wormwood, these are all very good and conducive for creating dreams, okay? And you wash it in an herbal mixture of that, and then you've got your little dream vessel. Now you take that and you place it right next to your bed along with a petition. You write your name. You go, I so-and-so am looking for my tutelary spirit, my tutelary guardian, my god, my goddess, my deity. And you place that right next to the bowl while you have the candle lit. Make sure that it's in a heat-proof, somewhere where you can see it if you wake up so that you're not lighting anything on fire. And you go to bed with your head facing towards the dream vessel. And what that will do is it'll allow whatever deity or spirit that is already around you to kind of present himself or herself in your dream, and they can often do that by revealing some form of symbol. If they're associated with signs, sigils, or certain signatures, you'll see that in your dream. For example, people who dream in the Kimbanda tradition of tridents and fire and snake will often, you know, we talk about how their Eshu or their Bumbajira is close. And this dream vessel is also something that is found in some of the Brazilian and South American ETRs, as well as in older European traditions. So it's, you know, a little bit universal. You can work it for a variety of reasons. And you'll see various symbols in your dream. You'll see that deity present themselves. And what you do is you work it regularly. Every night, you light that candle, you place a fresh cup of water out, and you turn, you face your dream vessel, and you say, you know, I invite my spirit, my guardian, my divinity, my deity to come to me and introduce themselves. And as you go on, you're developing a dream connection with them, and you'll start to understand who your guardian is. You'll feel an impulse to research a certain deity or a certain god, and then you'll know. Once you know who that deity is, because you've seen their symbol, their sign, or whatever, then you can research them, find out their traditional offerings, and try to establish some form of communication. That's what I would suggest. It's a very simple rite, it's a very easy rite, and it works with dreams to help establish some form of connection with spirit, deity, or gods and goddesses, okay? And I'm going to hand this over to my colleagues and see if they have anything to add, or if they can, you know, divine who your spirits might be.
Oh, thank you. Howdy, do I have something to add. Thank you, Ollie. I was chomping at the bit there. Okay, I'm gonna go right back to basics here. Why do you want to be working with deities? Do you have one? I mean, what were you raised in?
Well, I was raised, you know, my parents always said we're Protestant, but we never went to church.
Your deity of your family would have been Jehovah.
Right. And I've gone through life with sort of a general idea of, you know, God, goddess, but nothing really that I felt a personal connection with.
So are you of Northern European, possibly pagan descent?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So
now you're talking. We're just going to sort this out, baby. We're going to jump off the Judeo Judeo section here. Well, actually, they have a goddess too, but they don't talk about it as much as the pagans do.
Good old Asherah.
Asherah, right? Exactly. So we could have an Asherah thing going on, but you come from a you know, Northern European background, and so we're talking about some sort of god goddessy thing. What nation would you say in Europe were most of your ancestors from?
Probably England, Scotland, Ireland.
Bingo.
That order. Yeah.
England and what else? I missed it.
Scotland and Ireland.
Scotland and Ireland. Okay.
Great Britain.
All righty. There we go. I could have called that one. All righty. So, baby, I want you to start with that. Don't go lusting after strange gods and goddesses until you have found the ones that your lineage gave you. You can find other ones. You believe me, you can make your home in Africa. You can make your home in Brazil. Your spiritual home may be in Western Mongolia, for all I know. But I want you to start from home. Your home is the Anglo-Scots-Irish tradition. So I'm not saying go get initiated in modern-day Wicca either. I'm just saying start with those people. Those are your family's deities. Your family's deities. Right, and then all of a sudden this Pauline thing comes in with the Christian and all that. You might just sort of circle around that a little bit and maybe, you know, say yes, say no, whatever, and then start spinning out. But I would start with the faith of my father's, faith of my grandmother's, whatever you want to call it. Just look at that. But I don't mean, hey, I wish Christianity had a goddess. I mean, just go back till you get where you get the goddess that you're interested in. It's some sort of a something there. But then after that, what Ollie said, very true. Invite the spirits in. I will add only one more warning on top of that, which is do not think, because the spirit calls to you and says, I am this god, this deity, this spirit, do not think you are being truth. Test the spirits that in your
always.
Bible. Test the spirits, because you might have ended up with a trickster, and many people have. A spirit who is basically looking to attach itself to you, and be careful. That is why people work in communities and why people have traditions, and why we sometimes laugh behind their backs at people who says, I am a child of name deity, and they have none of the characteristics of that deity. But I saw that deity in a dream. And, well, that's fine. You might have seen the deity in a dream, but... It is not necessarily that deity. It may be some other kind of thing going on. So the next step would be is if you feel yourself attracted to a deity, make a vow to find the community where that deity is traditionally venerated and learn the tradition of that community. All right? So that is my advice, is to start almost on a globe of the world. Start go back to where your ancestors are from, and you know what they did. You can read all about it in a Time Life National Geographic book, you know, or see it on YouTube. Look at that. See if that is not right. Start just literally wandering out in a spiral and just wandering the earth until you feel the deity that is going to be calling to you. For instance, I was very attracted as a young child to Khnum, a rather obscure Egyptian deity. Why? Who the heck knows? But, well, I just was Khnum. Khnum was my dude, man. And I met a man who looked exactly, to me, and I'm nearsighted, looked exactly like the best known statue of Khnum. And I had a child with him. I mean, that he was my husband, right? I saw him, I went, it's Khnum in the flesh. Well, maybe that was just my baby calling to me. You know, who knows? But I, you know, that was Khnum. We all have our little things, you know. I devoted myself to Shiva, and what did I find? Another husband. Well, I'm a Taurus, we're always looking for mates. So I found a husband named Shiva. Sometimes when a deity calls, it's just a mask for what else you need in your life, a job, a love, a child. There are reasons that we become attracted to deities and reasons why eclectic spiritualists like me kind of look at the whole panoply of deities as this great community of deities. Some people call it your spiritual court. Don't be surprised if you have a spiritual court that comes a little bit of them from Nicaragua and a little bit of them from Nepal. Okay?
Just very
all right. True. All right. Dr. E's turn.
Thanks. I think both Conjure Manali and Kat give you fantastic advice. I'm going to recommend a very practical practical approach, because I'm a very practical root worker. I say start with where your blood comes from, because within your blood is found the ancestral heritage of the spirits that your ancestors work with. And start by looking at the mythology of the lands from where your ancestors came. Just go get some mythology books and start reading and see what appeals to you and see which myths you resonate with and which legends really call to you. Maybe for you, you read a story about Lu and you're like, this is my dude, you know, or maybe you read a story about Caradwyn and you're like, oh my gosh, this is almost just like my life story. And you decide that there is a spiritual mirroring there between your personal experience and your spiritual life. Start there. And, of course, I mean, you're kind of asking us, how do I do my spiritual journey? Ultimately, that's a question that only you can answer. But I will tell you that I encourage you to be open-minded. I encourage you to wander. I encourage you to experiment. And I encourage you to research and study. And it's through that process that you're going to find connections. And your heart will call you in the direction that you need to go. But definitely start with where your ancestors came from. And then you can apply some of the techniques that Conjure Manali has talked about and go from there.
One thing that you should also consider in addition to deities is, given that you said that your background may be Northern European and English, if I remember correctly, Scotch-Irish, there are more than just deities, okay? In that particular tradition, you may have household spirits, you may have nature spirits, and these, remember, these are, that particular region was very involved in a form of nature religion. So don't look at this. We have a very bad habit of looking at things anachronistically and referring to the past as pagan or whatnot. These are very cult-oriented religions. So the cult of one region may be vastly different from another region in the very same area of Ireland, Scotland, or England, or what we call Great Britain now. So research where your family comes from specifically, okay? What clan are you part of? Which family line are you part of? What blood, in your bloodline, which household spirits were you already connected with? Often your name will give you an example, because people were named for their patron deity. Okay? Mm-hmm. Or the name of the place you came from will be named for your patron deity. That was the name of, you know, for example, Roman religion. Roma was a female deity of Rome. okay? Mm-hmm. This is something that you should look into. So where are you from specifically, your family line, and what type of household spirits, familiar spirits, what the Romans would call Lares, are associated with your particular family. And then you can look at also deities that would have been tied to it. But don't exclude things like nature spirit, household spirit, and ancestral spirits, okay?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and in the chat room, everyone's going, fairies, fairies.
What are called the part she, of the, but...
yeah, you're part of the world. Your part of the world is known for its love of fairies, and the she. And so that's another way to think. I also am going to recommend one book to you. It's a book that you don't need to own. You can buy it and pass it on to somebody. It's called Practice of Magic. And it's by, I've forgotten. Is it by Draja Mikaharik? I believe it is. Practice of Magic is a very good book, and it is a book that tells about the different religions and magical traditions. And it's kind of was written from the standpoint of telling a young person what the different magical traditions include: necromancy, divination,
spellcasting. Practice of Magic is called, I think.
Yes, yeah, it's called Practice of Magic by Draja Mikaharik, and it's really an important book. It's a book that when you read it, you go, "Okay, I got it." And like I say, it's a book that I've had several copies of and passed on to younger people because. But then every time I get another copy, I go, "I got to pass that on again." It's really interesting. It's a book that doesn't tell you how to be anything, but it paints the entire landscape of magical traditions, including magical religions. Very important work for those who are interested in magic. Okay. So I recommend it highly. Practice of Magic, Draja Mikaharik. Okay. All right. I hope we've answered your question. It's time for us to move on to the next person. So, Miss Tammy Lee, take it away. Uh-oh. Where's Miss
Tammy muted?
I believe Miss Tammy Lee has gone bye-bye.
Well, she was there a moment. We were experimenting with technology, so it's possible she must be part of it.
It's my fault for tempting Mercury in retrograde.
Oh, Mercury and Mercury.
I got it. Yes.
Yay, we got her.
Hey, I'm sorry, you guys. It's so... Here we are.
Okay.
All right, we're...
Yay.
Oh, my. All right, we are going to go ahead and just to let everybody know, we've got about 18 minutes left in the show, and reminding everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com. And this week's special guest, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from 717 from Georgia. And this is Blue, whose blog talk radio name is Jennifer. Are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Okay, great.
Welcome.
I'm going to go ahead.
Thank you.
Welcome. And I'm going to go ahead and let Conjurement Ali and Miss Kat and Dr. E know that you have had a private reading with Conjurement Ali before, and you also called into the show back in May or June about your situation. So this is an update, and she writes, "I was in a very unhealthy relationship and needed to get out fast. I had a lot to accomplish in a very little amount of time and was completely distraught. My initial call on the show was cut short, and I feel completely lost, anxious, and unconfident in myself. I would like to update Conjurement Ali and Miss Kat on my progress and see if they have any other advice for me. turning it back over to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, first I'd like to thank all of the wonderful and amazing people at the Crystal Silence League who have prayed for me. All of my prayers have been answered. I feel amazing. I don't know if you remember me calling way back when I had to leave a relationship, and I was saying that I wanted financial help from my stepfather, who I kept calling my mother's husband, and Ms. Kat kind of said, well, put him in some sugar and make him some cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did that. I said that I remember telling Conjurman Ali that I needed all of this done. I needed to be in a house and in a car, and
mm-hmm.
I needed to have a job.
I remember this.
All by July. Well, I have moved into an amazing house. I have amazing landlords. I actually just bought a car last week. I started my new job all within 2 weeks. So I feel amazing. I put my ex-husband in a honey jar, and we've been able to peacefully end, although he's still very, he kind of flip-flops. He's happy one day with me, and he's really angry and screaming at me the next. I did put my stepfather in a honey jar. I also put my mom in one. And they didn't write me like a check for $6,000, but they spent well over that helping me get into my situation. So I feel blessed, and I want to thank you, all of you, for your help and your assistance and your guidance and your suggestions.
Well, that's great.
Thank you. Right now, I'm working one job and kind of a part-time job. I'm a little nervous about money, not about keeping it all up now, because I have all these bills. I found a honey jar spell on Conjurman Ali's blog, something with a $20 bill, which I'm going to do tonight, but I don't have, I went locally and bought herbs, and I couldn't find blue flag or bayberry root, which I'll probably order from the site.
Oh, I know what spell you're talking about. It's a good one.
Yeah
mm-hmm. I wanted to get started
on
that right away.
So what can we do for you now? We're here to help.
Well,
so we've heard your story, and we need to know what we can do.
Okay, so I just have two questions. I just would like to know if you guys see me being successful financially. Am I going to be able to keep this up? Because I'm very nervous about that. And I've also met someone new, and I put him in a honey jar.
Can't do two questions, baby.
Oh, I'm
we can't
sorry.
Do two questions. We just don't have the time. So let's
mm-hmm.
choose. Is it about the new person or is it about the money? We'll do one question. Okay?
The money is way more important.
Yeah,
all right.
It's good to do money.
All right, baby. We'll work on that right now. All right. Okay. So I'm gonna do a really quick what I call a bone grab. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just gonna reach into my bones and I'm just gonna grab what I got is what I get. Okay. Throw it out and there we go. All right. I have a domino face down. I have a cowrie face down, and I have a nice little alligator a paw. Clinging around the cowrie shell. I also have a coyote penis bone. So I guess I'm going to talk about the new guy anyway, even though I didn't want to. Don't worry. The new guy is not. The new guy has problems. So you're going to have to work on him. Okay. And that is touching the face down domino. So I'm seeing you're not quite seeing the whole story about the new guy. So we'll just let that be. The alligator, it's off to one side, okay? But the alligator foot clutching around the cowrie is a good one. This is a particular kind of cowrie called a deer cowrie. And the alligator foot does mean money. You can hold on to money. You're a strong female, cowrie female, but you've got to just kind of distinguish between the work you do and let's call it your female nature, because the cowrie is, the little pussy side of the cowrie is down. So don't let your love life distract you from that search for your money. That's what's going to get you your money. It's not as bad. It's nothing to worry about. In fact, it looks like you can grab money. You'll have women who will help you. All right. Ali, what do you say?
What I am going to do is, because you have a cowrie, I'm going to do a Kimbanda reading with the cowrie shell. So bear with me as I do a really quick invocation. Salve povo de Aruanda, salve Eshu, salve Pombagira, salve povo de Kimbanda, la roai, la roai, la roai, queso mexone, queso ex, queso mexona zambi, Okay, yeah, money's going to be good. Okay, the indication I have here from the cowrie shells is that interestingly, this guy came up again, like this cat indicated. What this actually, a little bit elaborating on that, is to actually avoid this relationship because it's going to impact your money.
Okay. Well, see, that's what I was saying, but I want like see, I'm like I ask her about her money, and there's this face down on her. She's not
this is a very clear one.
Don't okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the indication here is if you want to hold your money, and I'm sensing some type, and Dr. E can teach you this type of work, some type of work with the actual gator claw, stay away from this guy, because what's going to happen is dating this man is going to, one, take away all that energy you've put into rebuilding your finances, getting yourself stable, and it's going to direct it elsewhere. This man, on the other hand, is going to drain that money from you. Okay, so there could be some problems financially with this guy. Stay away from him. Yes, you can be fine financially. You're not out of the thick entirely yet, is what my the reading is showing me, okay? You're not, you're there, almost there, not quite done. Keep at it. Keep yourself focused. Do that honey jar spell right away. Get some type of money, keep, stay with me type of spell is what you're going to need. Because the sense I'm getting here is that you're starting to get, you're getting a little bit of the finances coming in, a little bit of money coming towards you, but you're going to want to keep that money because there is some hole, some faucet that it's going to drain the money. So right now, your entire focus should be on money, stay with me, money, stay with me. You know, things that'll ensure that your car won't break down, that you suddenly won't have some type of break in your house or apartment and that you're forced to repair it. That's the big issue that you're facing now. That you, now that you're getting the finances coming towards you, you want to make sure that you create a nice, solid base for that finances to build on because they're going to start to be, you know, drain a little bit. So that's your key right now, okay? It's money, stay with me. And we can turn to Dr. E, who can really teach you how to do this type of work.
Dr. E, I just got to ask,
did the boyfriend come up in your reading too?
And I saw him as an obstacle to finances as well. So,
we're cooking here.
I'm going to put it real plain. Okay. I know he's a lovely distraction to the conflict you've been dealing with lately and all the struggles, but he's just that, a distraction. Keep all your horses going in the same direction. Get yourself financially stable before you even think about a man, because a man is nothing more than a distraction. All right. Now let's get to the real situation. Money, stay with me. I highly recommend money stay with me work. And how I do it is very simple. I get myself a green jumbo candle, okay? And into that, I write money stay with me. I literally just carve it in. And on the other side, I carve my full name, and I draw the little symbol for my astrological sign. I then take this candle, and I rub money stay with me oil toward me. You know, while I'm holding the candle, I rub it on there, and I say money stays with me. Money comes to me. Money loves me. My bank account grows. And I prevent any unexpected expenses. I put all of my efforts behind securing my finances, finding thriftier ways to do things, and growing my finances until they are stable. Because that's part of this. It's finding ways to save money, too. So cut down those phone minutes. You know, cancel the cable bill if you have to. Find practical things to do in conjunction with this, right? Now that you've got that candle oiled, you're going to powder it with some Money Stay With Me powder. And again, rub it in with your hand, continuing to pray these same sort of things. Money comes to me. Money stays with me. I ward off anything that may distract or drain money from my account. Okay? Now, what I like to do is take a piece of paper and write out what my ultimate financial goals are. And I want you to aim high. I always tell people, aim for the top of the tree and you may hit a branch on the way down. So write out your grand, beautiful image of what you in your most prosperous state would be like, right? So I make X amount of money a year, and I can easily afford my bills and have plenty of money left over to save money and use a little bit to go on little treats and vacations from time to time. All of my credit cards are paid. My car is paid off. You know, write it all out. Write out your dream life when it comes to your finances, okay? And you're going to place this under that candle. And then what I do is I get sassafras, okay, sassafras bark, okay? And it's got this beautiful spicy scent to it. For me, sassafras is all about money stay with me, and since it's a uniquely American herb, we have a real, like, connection to it in the land that we live on. So I take that plant, and I hold it in my hand, and I talk to it, and I say, sassafras, lend me your spirit medicine that you may help me secure my finances, that you may ward off any unexpected expenses, that you may draw money to me so that money will come to me, money will stay with me, and money will grow as big and as healthfully as your tall branches reaching up to the heavens. And then I take that and I sprinkle it around the candle in a clockwise direction, because as the clock turns, I want my finances to advance and grow and move forward. Okay? Then you light that candle and you sit there and really pray over it and picture your life as to what it would be like unburdened from debt, unburdened from your financial troubles. Picture yourself with money coming in. See that bank ledger with your income growing and growing and growing and growing. And then throw all of your gratitude into that and say, and so be this in the name of whatever deity or Lord or God or whatever that you work with. Pray it in the name of your God and say, so be this. Make this happen for me. And let it burn down. When it's done burning down, take all of the remnants. Take that sassafras bark, take the petition that you wrote out, take the little, you know, butt of wax that may be left from the candle, and wrap it all up in a green cloth, tie it real tight, and I want you to hide this somewhere near your front door. I know a lot of people that like to tuck it away in a little container, or some people will bury it in the ground by their front doorstep, and that's so that the money will come into your house, flow into your house, and stay in your house. Now, because money can sometimes be like water running through our fingers, I really highly recommend that you find ways, again, to stop the leakage of money coming out of your life through things like unexpected expenses, bills that are too high, get cheaper car insurance, you know, find little ways like that to bring down your expenses. And then take that same money stay with me oil and dab a little bit on the four corners and center of every window and door in your house so that your house holds the money and the money doesn't go flying out of your house as it comes in. Okay, that's a great little spell you can do. You can even take a little pinch of that sassafras and put it in your purse or in your wallet so that money comes to you and money stays with you, all right? A great little working you can also do is every day take the cash, you know, the dollar bills you have in your wallet, take them out. And on the corner of the paper, of all four corners of the dollar, write RTM. That means return to me. Okay, and as you write it on there, say it with intention, as I spend this money wisely in the world, may it return to me, and may it bring its friends with it, you know, so that you keep training your money to keep coming back to you. These are great little practical tips that you can do to keep that money coming back and coming back. And then, of course, use your money wisely. You know, if it's a choice between brewing your own cup of coffee or going to Starbucks, brew your cup of coffee. All right?
Okay.
Add a little bit of alpha and alfalfa also, because that protects from money jinxes. One of the quick, I mean, people don't realize this, but money is very easy to jinx. It's the first thing to go in a jinx or crossing. So alfalfa and alpha to that great spell he gave you.
Okay, thank you.
You said alfalfa, and what was the other one?
Alkanet.
We'll put it in the chat. Alkanet, we'll put it in the chat. All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat, and Contraman Ali, and thank you, Dr. E. of ContraDoctor.com in Long Beach, California, for being our special guest this week from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from air will be Marin Graves of MarinGraves.com in Grass Valley, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contraman Ali at ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, and we'll stick around in chat for a while. Good night, Dr. E. Good night, Ali.
Good night, Ali. Good night, Pat. And good night, Tammy Lee.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. E.
All righty. Now, we're going to be in the chat room probably, 15 minutes anyway. We're going to sit around in there and type about food. So if you want to stay for a while, please do. And And we always enjoy having you as a guest, Dr. E. I'm just very pleased. Marin Graves next week, a wonderful worker from Northern California who is a sea witch and works with water and works beautiful magic. You'll all love her when you see her next week. All right? Good night, all.
Good night.